Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel, and I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Jeremiah chapter 18. Book of Jeremiah chapter 18. Verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Now the last I want to read is in John chapter 21. Gospel of John. Chapter 21, reading from verse 15. So when they had dined, and Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto me, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Look down to verse 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now just for a few minutes to close the meeting, I'd like to speak about these different ones that we've read about. First of all, we have a chosen vessel. And then we have a broken vessel. And then we have a different vessel. Oh, we have a chosen vessel. And then we have a broken vessel. And then we have a different vessel. In the first one, we have a chosen vessel in the Apostle Paul. And I used to think, maybe some of the young people feel the same way as I did, I used to think that Paul had something special from God. Well, in a sense, there was something special. But what I want to get at is this. In each believer is the same potential power. Paul didn't have any more than you and I have the moment we got saved. That is, when we got saved, the Holy Spirit of God took up his abode in our bodies. Paul had that. So do you and I. It's just that the Spirit of God got more of him. Seems to me that every moment seemingly of his life was packed full of doing things for God. And so the Spirit of God had more of him. But the thing is, I used to think that, you know, he had something very, very special from God. God gave him well, it was a special gift and so on, but that God had given him more. In other words, of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's impossible. It's like, for instance, you put gas in your gas tank. That's potential power. But if it was left in that gas tank, it could stay there for years, never do any good. In fact, after a while, it would rot. That would be no good for the engine. But the point is, as soon as you turn the key on, and that engine comes alive, now you can put it in gear, and you've got potential power and motion. What I'm just saying now is this. In each believer, I know a lot, most of you here today have heard all this before, but I like to get down to the basics in case there's some here that really haven't heard it before, and we want to start off at the beginning. So that when we got saved, the Spirit of God took up his abode in us. Now we can't get more of the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God can get more of us. Now that's not a riddle. That's just, you think it over. As soon as we were born into the family of God, by the Spirit of God, he took up his abode in that body, and now he says, ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But this man, he was a special or a chosen vessel for different reasons. He was a chosen vessel for a special work. He was a chosen vessel for a special time. He was a chosen vessel to a special people. And he was a chosen vessel with a special suffering. Now, what I want to say simply is this. That was Paul's life. You and I don't come into that. But God has chosen us, every one of us, for some special thing, not just to save us from hell. Thank God that's in it. But God hasn't saved us just to save us from eternal burnings. Wonderful as that is, he has saved us for a purpose. And I don't know what the purpose is. It's not for the same purpose as the Apostle Paul, because he had a special work. He was to bear the name of the Lord Jesus to the Gentiles and to the people of Israel. Well, that's not maybe our responsibility. That's not, and again, I want to say as the prodigal son, he had it all made out what he was going to say to the father. I've sinned against heaven and before thee, am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But he didn't get all that out. In fact, he only got the first part of it out. I've sinned against heaven before thee, am no more worthy to be called thy son. But as far as what the Father's going to make of him, that's the Father's place, not the prodigal's. Reminds me just now when I think of that. We have a man back home, and his father, of course he gets it honestly because his father was that way, but everything he tells you, it has to be a certain way he's saying it. It has to be a certain, he's figuring out how he's going to say it. If you ask him a question, he'll come back with some, well, sometimes ridiculous answer, instead of giving you a straightforward answer. And one night, after the meeting was over, he jumped into the back of the van and he said, I want to get saved. So he went with us, and we dropped off all the people, and then we turned around on the road, and we sat there and started reading. About 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was getting tired, about 2 o'clock in the morning, he got saved. So we said, well, we might as well go home now. So we started home another 20 miles or so, and now, we didn't know, but all the time the snow was coming down, and there's banks of snow, and the old car, the old van is plowing snow along, and the longer it went on, the more tired I was getting. So the last turn we were making, just before we got to his house, he says, I haven't figured out yet what I'm going to tell my father. And I said, for any favor, do you have to have some silly way of telling him you got saved? Well, he said, the prodigal son had it all figured out. How'd they get on there? Paul had a special work to do. In his special time, That was back in the transition period. That was just after the Lord Jesus went home to heaven. The early church, in other words, was his time. But you and I have a different time. It's 1994. And God has a work for you and I to do. Don't ask me what it is. I don't know. In fact, sometimes I wonder what my work is. He had a special suffering. He suffered physically. And he suffered mentally. Likely none of us will ever have to suffer the way the Apostle Paul did. But even if we're called to that, even if that's what the purpose is that God has for us, there's a reason for it. I see a man, two men for that man, matter, in a jail with their feet in the stocks and their arms in the stocks, and they're sitting there, and good thing it was Magdalene, and like they're crying. But here they are, and they're singing and praising God. What are they there for? They might well have said, well, boy, this isn't preaching the gospel. But there was a reason for him being there. He was suffering. And that night he saw a whole family saved. You don't know sometimes why it is that God brings you into a certain avenue. And it may seem like, oh, this isn't just what I thought it was going to be. David Craig, one of the best preachers of the North of Ireland. Man, he could, I heard him one time, 5 weeks. I was only 10 years old, 5 weeks on the life of Joseph in the gospel every night. But that man, when he first started out, he was starting out with Joe Stewart. A rough, uncouth, but a man that saw that a lot of people saved. Joe Stewart did. He'd go for 4, 5, 6 weeks in a place and then leave. And people were writing to him a month later telling that they got saved in those meetings. But when David Craig went with him, first of all, just a young man, he says, many a time I was ashamed. I'd wake in the night and I'd look out and here he is out on the floor, a few blankets wrapped around him, and he's down on his knees, and he's crying to God for souls in the middle of the night. And he says, I said to myself, oh God, is this the cost of seeing God working amongst us? And he learned in his early days that he needed to cry to his God. In fact, one old man told him, David, make sure that your sitting in the private exceeds your standing in the public. Good advice. I say again, we don't know what it is that God would have us to do, or what he has chosen this man for a special time, and he did it, and now we come to the end of the journey, and here I see, let's go down to the jail for a minute. I wonder, it certainly wasn't like the jails today, in a dark, dirty, damp dungeon. When the plane pulled down in Athens, we were there for a day and a half, and at last they let us go on for sightseeing. We went up to the Acropolis, the other two boys and myself. We were wandering around that gray site. Never saw him like it. And then we were going around the outside of it. And we came along to the places where there was holes about this hot, this circumference, about 15 feet that deep. Somebody said, what do you have there? Somebody else suggested that's where they would put prisoners off. And they would throw some meat down to him or some drink or something. Down in a hole. I don't know what the point is or what it was like, but let me come for a moment and think about it. And here's a man sitting writing. The end of his days. And he's able to say, God allows him to say it. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness,
which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. What a man he was. He was a chosen vessel. But that's the past. He had his day. Young men, young women here today, and older ones as well, now it's your turn. And as you've been hearing what he will do with us, you have an opportunity of living for God. What an opportunity that is. It may not always seem the best. It may sometimes may seem, boy, this is a hard road. But if you allow him to be the good shepherd, he'll carry you through the dry spots. And he'll take care of you in the rough spots. And he'll bring you to the green pastures. So, here's a man that was a chosen vessel. Not only that, as I said before, he comes to the end of the journey, he's able to write. And you know something, I was just thinking in connection with that. When they made the tabernacle, God said, make a lamp. And then he said, make the tongs and the snuff dishes. And they're to be made of gold? Snuff dishes? Because the lamps had to be trimmed. And so, day by day, as they would trim those lamps, they would have to snuff out the light for a moment. And then take the tongs and cut away that which was already burnt. Seems to me the Apostle Paul's thinking, forgetting those things that are behind, I press on. You know it's easy to think to yourself, well, I spent a few days or a few months or a few years, I spent a little time for God and He's blessed me and I've seen a little bit of work done and I'll just settle down now. I used to think that when he was saying that, he was saying, forgetting the things that are wrong behind. No, I don't think that's what he was thinking. I think he was thinking, forgetting those things that God helped me in. Forgetting those works that God allowed me to have the privilege to do. Forgetting all that, and I still press on to something greater, something more. And so, here's the great Apostle Paul. And God has taken as he works day by day, God takes the tongs and takes away the burnt portion. He puts it in the snuff dishes. What more? They're golden snuff dishes. Because the day is coming when he'll take those snuff dishes and bring them out again. And the tears even have been hidden above. God takes notice. And everything that has been burned for God will receive a due reward in the coming day. Brothers and sisters, as well as it. Friends, what? I remember when I was a little boy, I went to a Sunday school picnic. I was only this high. In those days, I could run. Can't now. Long as the bagman got us all, a whole bunch of us boys all lined up. He says, you see that tree up there? I said, yes. He said, walk around that tree and come back again. He says, whoever's back here first will get this. It looked pretty good. The boys looked and they said, go. We all started. I ran up, pegged the tree and back again, and I was a good 15 feet ahead of anybody else. And I ran up for my prize. He said, no, he said, you don't get a prize. Why not? He says, you didn't get around the tree. You just tagged it. I said, I could have gone around the tree two or three times and still been here, but... What he says, you didn't. We're not crowned unless we strive lawfully. Brethren and sisters, make sure it's according to the book. Here's a chosen vessel. He did that. You know what the language of his heart was right at the very beginning of the race? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And at the end of the race, he says it's all finished. A broken vessel. Oh my. The There's a lot of broken vessels out there, brother. It's the easiest thing in the world to say, well, not much we can do about it, isn't there? Jesus, go down to the potter's house, and I'll show you something. He gets down to the potter's house, and he sees a lump of clay. And that man that's able to handle that, and knows well, he is feeling in those fingers that very few would have. And he starts the wheel, and he starts with that piece of lump of clay. And he's working it, and he's bringing it up, and he's shaping it. He's doing well. Started off well. And all of a sudden, there's a little lump or something in the clay, and it falls apart. It's broken. It's not the potter's fault. It's the clay that's wrong. Brethren, is there somebody here and you look back and say, it's no sense in me going any further? I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. But thank God he made it again. And I think I see him, that potter, as he takes that lump of clay, he throws it together. And then he starts again. And he makes it a different vessel. A different vessel. I think you can see that, can't you, in Peter? Not only did he bring Peter back to himself again, but he made him different. Before that, before his call, he says, you follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's a wonderful thing. But now, after he has noticed and found his failure and his weak point, now the Lord Jesus speaks to him and he says, yes, I love thee. Now he gives him something different. Not only the fishing of the fishers of men, not only that, but he gives him the feeding of the sheep and the feeding of the lamb. Those tender ones.